Today's scripture reading is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 to 18. Matthew 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Blessed morning, my brothers and sisters, and bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Gathered on site or online, we want to welcome you to PSBC. And we completed our ECM last week. I want to convey our thanks to God and the congregation for the strong congregation mandate you have given to the EDC and the BRP steering committee, that we can take the step to start the BRP starting in March. And those of us who were not able to join us last week, we will more fully announce this during announcement later on. We are continuing with our sermon series on the Gospel of Matthew, and we have come to chapter 6. And for today's sermon, I'll focus on verses 1 to 18. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we come before your word. We ask that you will prepare our hearts and open our ears, and by your Spirit speak to us, search us, shape us, that we may respond with obedient hearts. May all that is said today and heard today bring glory to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And many years ago, there was a reality TV show called Undercover Boss. And what happened in that show was that bosses would go undercover as new employees in their companies, and while working as new employees would observe how the rest of their workers were really doing their job. And I recall that one episode, there was a CEO of a waste treatment company. He went undercover as a new worker, and because of that undercover job, he actually entered a sewage tank with half his body immersed, submerged in wastewater, slimy, smelly wastewater. And so as he completed that undercover job, he returned to corporate HQ and then summoned all the workers whom he had worked with to head office. And the workers were all very terrified. What was happening? Why were they summoned to corporate office? And imagine their shock when they realized that the new employee whom they had been working with was the CEO himself. Now, some episodes ended happily because those bosses rewarded those workers who were doing their jobs faithfully. But other episodes ended badly because the bosses had to confront, reprimand those workers who had bad attitudes and even terminate a few who were simply negligent in their jobs. And what this reality TV show tells us is that some people do their job very differently when they think no one is watching them. But in the Christian life, God does not need to go undercover at all. He sees what is done with people, and he also sees what is done without people. He sees what is done front stage, and he also sees what is done backstage. He sees all our actions, and he also sees all our motives. And that brings us to today's passage. In the Sermon on the Mount that started in chapter 5, Jesus reinterpreted the law and the prophets, what it meant to fulfill the law and the prophets. And he said that his disciples, their life and the path of righteousness must surpass that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And by raising the bar of righteousness, Jesus said in verse 48, "You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And that brings us to today's passage. This righteous perfection must go beyond right action to right motive. Why? Because one of the greatest dangers in the Christian life is not wrong action. One of the greatest dangers in the Christian life is not wrong action. Rather, it is right action with wrong motives. And that is one of the greatest challenges, difficulties, and dangers of the Christian life. Right action, but wrong motive. And in today's sermon, we shall see what it means to match right action with right motive. And the first principle of right action with right motive is for the right audience. Because Jesus said in verse 1, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." And in the rest of the passage, Jesus gave three examples to highlight this principle. And it follows this outline. Firstly, the religious action. The religious action of giving, praying, fasting. Secondly, the wrong motive. Do not be like the hypocrites. And thirdly, the human reward. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. So who were the hypocrites? In the Greek understanding of this word, it referred to someone who performs, who put on a mask, who take up a role, who put up a performance. That would be the understanding of a hypocrite, an actor, a performer. And so Jesus was confronting the religious performance of the Pharisees and teachers of the law. How were they putting up a religious performance, you may ask? Firstly, they were misusing giving to seek human applause. In the Jewish society in those days, there was no social welfare system like what we see in modern society. And so the poor and the needy must depend on voluntary charity in order to survive. And the best of Jewish piety says that giving must be done quietly. There is even a Jewish saying that says, "He who gives in secret is greater than Moses." Yet the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they made a religious performance to seek human applause. Because when they gave in the synagogue, in the streets, they were making a big fuss. It was a big religious performance to seek human applause. Do you remember the fairy tale, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? There was an evil queen, and she got this magic mirror. And every day she would ask that wonderful question, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all?" And the mirror would say, "You, O queen, is the fairest of them all." And she would do that day after day, day after day, to be praised, applauded every single day. And so in the same way, the hypocrites were asking, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the most generous of them all?" And so in the end, it was just a religious performance to seek human applause. Secondly, the hypocrites were misusing praying to seek human applause. Devout Jews would pray the Shema twice a day, taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And Jews will also pray what is known as the 18 benedictions three times a day. And so when it was the appointed time to pray, the hypocrites, the Pharisees and teachers of law, they will put up a religious performance in a prominent street corner to seek human applause. As though they were asking, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the most prayerful of them all?" And in the end, it was just a religious performance to seek human applause. Thirdly, the hypocrites were misusing fasting to seek human applause. Fasting was an important aspect of Jewish piety. But when they fasted, they deliberately made themselves look gloomy, look disfigured, to make sure everybody knew that they were fasting. But in the end, they were simply asking the question, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the most pious of them all?" And in the end, it was just a religious performance to seek human applause. And so if the first principle of right action with right motive is for the right audience, how do we make the connections to the Christian life? In the same way, we can also ask the same question, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the most generous, prayerful, pious, dutiful, faithful, committed of them all?" And in the end, we can also put up a religious performance for human applause. And the story was told that back in the 17th century, French King Louis XIV, on one Sunday, he went to church to attend worship service. When he arrived in church, there was no one in the church except the bishop himself. And so he asked the bishop, "Where is the congregation, why isn't there anybody in church today? And the bishop replied, the king saying, Your Majesty, this morning, as the people came to church, I told them that you are not coming. And so all of them decided to go home. And this way, Your Majesty will know who is a true worshipper and who is just here to flatter you. And Jesus challenges us in Matthew chapter 6. The righteous perfection that He requires of us, His disciples, is to match right action with right motive for the right audience, for God and God alone. He sees what is done with people, and He also sees what is done without people. He sees what is done front stage, and He also sees what is done backstage. He sees all our actions, and He also sees all our motives. And that is why Edward Benson, the Archbishop of Canterbury in the late 19th century, wrote this beautiful prayer. Teach me, good Lord, not to murmur at a multitude of business or shortness of time, not to magnify the undertaken duties by seeming to suffer under them, but to treat all as liberties and gladnesses, not to call attention to crowded work or petty perfidies, not to gather encouragement from appreciation by others, lest this should interfere with purity of motive, not to seek praise, respect, gratitude, or regard from superiors or equals on account of age or past service, not to let myself be placed in favorable contrast with another, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So, my brothers and sisters, let us match our right action with right motive for the right audience, because the right audience is the one we cannot see. The second principle of right action with right motive is for the true reward. And early on, we have been following this outline. Firstly, the religious action. Secondly, the wrong motives. Thirdly, the human reward. And we can continue on to fourthly, the right motive to give, pray, fast in secret. And finally, the heavenly reward. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now let us look at each of the three examples again. In terms of giving, Jesus said in verse 3, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. That does not mean the lack of financial accountability. That does not mean lack of financial stewardship. But rather, it is a figurative way to emphasize freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from human admiration, freedom from human approval, freedom from human applause. Next, in terms of praying, Jesus said in verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. This does not mean that we cannot pray together. This does not mean that we cannot attend church prayer meeting, but rather, prayer should not be turned into a religious performance. Instead, it should be marked by sincerity. It should be marked by simplicity. Prayer should be sincere, not pretentious like the Pharisees. Prayer should be simple, not pompous like the pagans. Why? Because in those days, The Gentiles and the pagans would pray with babbling, with vain repetition, as though their many, many words and sounds would make their prayer more effective. And Jesus said, don't do that. Because he gave the model prayer in verses 9 to 15. And in the Christian tradition, we know this as the Lord's Prayer. But essentially, it is more so the disciples' prayer. It is because it is meant for us to pray. And it deserves a separate sermon on its own, just to preach on the Lord's Prayer. But it will be sufficient for today, just to emphasize its sincerity and its simplicity. It begins with three priorities for God's glory: the honor of his name, the coming of his kingdom, the fulfillment of his will. And it moves on to three petitions for our needs, for our provision, for our forgiveness, and for our holiness. And altogether, all in all, just 57 Greek words in this whole prayer. It is sincere and not pretentious like the Pharisees. It is simple and not pompous like the pagans. Next, in terms of fasting, Jesus said in verses 17 to 18, but when you pray, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And by now we see the consistent principle of secrecy from beginning to the end. It's so important that the New Testament scholar D.A. Carson gave this advice. The way to avoid hypocrisy is not to stop giving, but to do so with such secrecy that we barely know what we have given. And we can expand from this thought to a question that we can ask ourselves all the time. Would we still give, pray, fast, serve, or do anything for God, even if no one knows about it? And Jesus' answer is yes, we can do so, because your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so we have come to the crux of today's passage. The crux of today's passage is that the truth is that everyone, including hypocrites, receive their reward. And you may ask, then what's the difference? If everybody receives reward, what's the point? The difference is that religious pretension receives human reward, reverent intention receives heavenly reward. And that is the difference. And that brings us to the greatest shortchange in life. Or what some of you know Malay, rugi, the greatest rugi. Because we settle for human reward, but we forfeit the heavenly reward. That is the greatest shortchange and the greatest rugi. So what do we understand and how do we make the connections to Christian life? Among the many things that can be said, I wish to address those among us who may feel unseen, unnoticed, or unappreciated in your labor, service, and ministry in the Lord. And you, because of that, you feel a sense of disappointment. You feel that you want to draw attention to yourself. And the response is that God sees what is done with people, and he also sees what is done without people. He sees what is done front stage, and he also sees what is done backstage. He sees all our actions, and he also sees all our motives. And because of that, when we match our right action with the right motive for the right audience, we receive the promise of true reward. And because of that, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Once there was a man by the name of Nicholas Herman. In many ways, his life circumstances would be far more difficult than we could imagine. He was born into a poor family, and he did not receive any formal education. And in those days, he hardly had any life options. And in those days, one of the last things that you could do to make a living was to join the army. Unfortunately, he was injured in a battle. And because of his war injuries, he was discharged from service. And that led to a time of soul searching. He searched deeply into his Christian life to find the true meaning of life. And after a time of spiritual transformation, he joined a religious order, and he spent the rest of his life doing seemingly insignificant tasks, such as working in the kitchen, repairing shoes, nothing seemingly spectacular. Yet his spiritual life grew deeper and deeper because he learned how to live his life and do all tasks for the true audience, for God and God alone. After his death, his writings, his letters, his reflections were compiled into a book, and that continued to inspire Christian spirituality for the last three centuries. Nicholas Herman is better known to us as Brother Lawrence, and that classic is the well-known The Practice of the Presence of God. Listen to his words. The time of business does not, with me, differ from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were upon my knees. We ought not to be weary of doing little things for the love of God, who regards not the greatness of the work, but the love with which it is performed. So, my brothers and sisters, let us match our right action with right motive for the right audience, for the true reward. For the right audience is the one we cannot see, and the true reward is the one the world cannot give. Your story of a missionary couple who, after spending many years of service in Africa, they were returning home. They were on the way sailing back to New York. And as they were approaching the harbor, they realized that US President Roosevelt was also on the same ship. He was returning from a hunting expedition. As the ship was about to reach New York Harbor, they saw the crowd and the officials gathering at the harbor, welcoming the president back from his trip. But no one noticed that missionary couple. The old missionary said to his wife, "You know, something is wrong. Why should we have spent all our years serving the Lord in a faraway place in Africa? And when it is time to come home, no one cares about us. And here we have the president, he went on his hunting trip. And when he returns, everybody makes a big fuss out of it. This is unfair. This is wrong." His wife tried to encourage him, but he continued to feel the disappointment of it all. Later that evening, he went into his room and he poured out all his disappointment to God in prayer. And subsequently, he emerged out of his room feeling calm and peaceful. And his wife asking, "What happened?" And he told his wife, I pour out everything to God, all my disappointment, all my bitterness, all my resentment. And it was as though the Lord put His hand on my shoulder and said to me, "But you are not home yet. You are not home yet." So my brothers and sisters, let us live for the right audience, for the true reward. For the right audience is the one we cannot see, and the true reward is the one the world cannot give. Amen. Let us rise as we respond in prayer. My brothers and sisters, Matthew chapter 6 is Jesus' challenges to his disciples. You must live in a way, a righteous perfection that surpasses the righteousness of the Pharisees and teachers of the law. And Jesus strikes at the heart of the matter, because the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And today, we are challenged deeply of what it means to live our lives and do all things, and not just for doing the right action, but with the right motive, and ultimately for the right audience, for the true reward. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give thanks for your word that searches our hearts. You are the one who sees in secret all our actions and our motives, what is done before others and what is done unseen. And we ask that you will purify our intentions so that all that we do may be done for your glory. Strengthen all of us, and especially those who serve faithfully yet feel unseen, unnoticed, unappreciated. In all the different areas of their life, they feel unseen, unnoticed, unappreciated. We ask that you will remind us, and especially them, that their labor in the Lord is not in vain, and the reward you promise is far greater than the world can give. Teach us to live our lives continually in God's presence, doing even the smallest things by the love of God, for the love of God. And in so doing, until the day we are truly home. And we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated.